Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and this is the 11th of April. I had almost the wrong page in front of me there, but I caught it in time. It's the 11th of April, and it's a Thursday, and I have a name for you, and you may already know this name, but it's a name that I assure you, as time goes on, you're going to hear more and more. And I can also assure you, you won't forget this name. The name is Amanda Zarosky. Do you know that name, Joe? No.
I do not.
Okay. Well, lots of people are finding out the name Amanda Zarosky. And the reason they're finding out is because she is part of an ad for Joe Biden that is probably one of the most powerful political ads in the last half century. So that takes in, obviously, Willie Horton. It also, let's see. No, it doesn't go far enough. Let's make it 60 years because it doesn't take in probably the most powerful ad, which was the Goldwater ad in 1964, which was the best. And I don't know that that is what got Lyndon Johnson the presidency, but it certainly was one of the main things that were out there at the time that had this giant impact on the country. And the funny thing about the 1964 Goldwater ad is that it only played one time. And the reason it only played one time is because it was so outrageous, so controversial, that it was in itself creating a firestorm, which, based on what was in the ad, firestorm is probably a great word, that everybody was taking it off the air. Now, when it came off the air, it was then played over and over and over and over again by people who were not running advertising, but were instead telling you what the ad was about. So it was probably one of the most seen ads in history, even though it only played as an ad one time. The Zarosky ad is definitely in that category. Now, it's playing a lot more than one time, and it's going to keep playing. But here's the thing. Amanda Zarosky was not trying to get an abortion. She was trying to have a child. And the problem that she ran into is a problem that's been talked about far too often in recent days, and that is women trying to have children who have not gotten their health care because doctors have been afraid that somehow they would be accused of trying to perform an abortion. In the end, Amanda is lucky she's alive. She went into sepsis. They barely saved her. And she might not be able to get pregnant again because they didn't act quickly because of the fear created by one person, Donald Trump. Everybody knows it. And in all the interviewing that's going on right now, everybody is saying it, including and especially Republicans, over and over and over again, Republican women. Because as I've pointed out here, the polling, which is now maybe a week or so old, was 60-35 against Donald Trump on the part of women. So 60-35 may not be good enough for what it really is today, because that number is growing, and it's growing quickly. In this whole movement against Trump, it's just growing so quickly that it's sort of funny, because people on the right don't even see this happening right in front of their noses. They don't know it. They don't want to know it. They're ignoring it. Their stations, their TV stations, Fox as an example, but you know, all those other crazy fringe stations, they're not even talking about this. They're not involved with this at all. They don't want to know. They're fighting to survive, for example, in Arizona. The Republicans are, because they know they are on the ropes with this 1864 law. Because, again, I've said it so many times, but I'll say it again. Take abortion out of this. Get it off the table. Because what you have is an attack on women and their health care that is so vicious, so extraordinary, that it is indeed setting off the same firestorm that was set off in 1964 when Lyndon Johnson exploded the atomic bomb on television and said, this is what you're going to get with Barry Goldwater. And it resonated in the exact same way as this nuclear weapon is resonating in the United States today across the country. And it's already showing up just in the regular polling, where today a new poll was out that showed Joe Biden 4 points ahead of Trump, but it was a poll in which Biden last month was 5 points behind. So it's a 9-point shift in a month. I understand the people on the right don't want to hear this. They don't want to think about it. And they don't believe it. But they better get used to it, because it's headed in this direction so rapidly that this whole thing is going to be over quickly. And I'm so upset potentially for Donald. And the reason I say that I'm upset for Donald is because once he's out of the picture, I'm not looking for retribution. Michael points out here, who is in Arizona right now, he lives there, that other 1860 Arizona laws, men need to join the posse when they turn 18, and all mixed marriages are illegal. And believe me, that all has been talked about, and especially the mixed marriages issue, which is pretty hysterical, because Clarence Thomas is sort of in the lead on all of this, and he's married to a white woman. No matter. Again, once these people are out of our face, then as far as I'm concerned, I don't want anything to happen to them. But prior to that, well, politically, things do need to happen. And the Zorosky story, the Zorosky ad, is happening to Donald in a way that is just so powerful. Again, there have been a couple of images in history. One of them, of course, is poor Dukakis, because Dukakis did this to himself when he put that crazy helmet on in a tank. And he looked insane, and a lot of people said at the time, No. Forget this guy. We are not voting for this Dukakis nutcase. Just on the basis of the picture in the tank. The Goldwater ad was brilliantly conceived and executed, and it was so powerful. It just wiped out Barry Goldwater, and Goldwater was one of the greatest just landslides in American history in the presidency. Now, the other one, of course, is Willie Horton. The Willie Horton ad was extremely successful, and it took advantage of America's hatred of black people. And that was the end of it. It worked. It worked. So, you know, when you come right down to it, there are a few ads in history that are memorable. And if you haven't seen the Zorosky ad, well, watch TV tonight. Just don't watch Fox. But watch TV tonight, and I think you will find, when you see that ad, first, you'll be crying. If you're human. And secondly, this is what the whole problem is. This is what the whole issue is about. It's not about abortion. There are women out here who are going to vote for Joe Biden, not because they want abortion rights. They're probably dramatically against abortion, some of these women. They would never have an abortion. They would never want anybody in their family to have an abortion. This is not it. Get that out of your head. This is about women's medical care. And truthfully, this country is so far behind other countries when it comes to protecting women who are in the middle of pregnancy. That is a serious problem. Now, in addition to that, we've got women out here who have very serious problems, just health problems, and those need to be addressed. And sometimes the doctors are afraid to even deal with them. And then finally, and this is big to me, I think it's huge, and that's women, black women, attempting to have children and not being able to have children simply because, as we know, the statistics, 3 times more likely that black women will die in pregnancy. Rich, poor, it doesn't matter. This is systemic racism. And I can tell you, it's all baked in together. And if it weren't, but it is, but if it weren't, women are there. Women are tired of being mistreated when it comes to their health care. And I promise you, that's the reason that poll showed 60 to 35 in favor of Joe Biden among women. That's why. No other reason. What other reason do you need? I mean, if you're a woman and you're tired of being second class in the United States healthcare system, you're going to jump up and do something. And this is what they're doing. And I can tell you that brilliantly, the Biden people are following up on this all the way. They are buying in completely. They're sending Amanda Zorosky all over the United States. She was just in North Carolina because there's now the belief that North Carolina might be in play. But there are other places as well. Florida certainly is possible. Arizona is back within the range of being in play because of this crazy 1864 law. But see, it's happening all over. And I know, and I've said this before because of, again, my family. I've got two brothers. They just don't want to believe that Donald is about to be crippled politically because they're just afraid that it's not true. They want it to be true. They're just afraid that it's not. I can tell you right now, it is true. It's happening. And if you watch for this Amanda Zaroski ad, watch for it tonight, watch for it tomorrow. It's not going away. The Biden people are very smart. They have figured out this is the direction, and they are pouring it on. And they're going to keep pouring it on. This is an emotional issue. It's an emotional ad. And like I said, Amanda Zaroski is out crisscrossing the country for Joe Biden. And she is all in favor of this. So it's not like somebody's using her and she doesn't know it. It's the opposite. She is using Joe Biden to stop Donald Trump right here and now. And she's being extremely effective in doing this. So again, I hope that you get a chance to see this. And I hope that you, when you take it in, you realize how significant it is because you're watching history being made. Now, there's no doubt in so many ways, history is being made right now in front of us. And I can say, having gone to UCLA from 1968 to 1972, when history was being made in the United States in a way which we'll never forget. I know what it's like when history is being made, and I promise you, it is being made right now in every possible respect. So let's look at what's happening on the 15th. Sure, it's tax day, okay? Finally got my taxes in today. But let me say this. The last 3 days, Donald Trump showed you a level of desperation that really should give everybody pause in the country. But again, there are only maybe 50 to 55% who are on the anti-Trump side. And then, of course, there are 40, 41, 42% who are on Donald's side, but that's shrinking rapidly, very rapidly. And I think that when people see how these numbers just continue to grow, and they're going to grow dramatically. They are right now, right before your eyes. The numbers are growing. And led by women, led by women. I mean, I've said this for 2 weeks, but now it's just clearly happening. But you know what's coming on the 15th, and that's going to really nail this thing down. And that's the court case in Manhattan. And I understand there were so many people who feared that that Manhattan court case was just not really that substantial. But here's the problem with that reasoning. They're comparing it to this man's other crimes. compared to the other crimes, this is probably the least important on the list. So you come down 1, 2, 3, 4. This is number 4 out of the crimes. But it's still a serious crime. It's still a crime. It's still a felony. 31 felonies. This is no joke. This can hit Donald very hard. Why do you think he's desperately, every day, filing at the courthouse all of these motions to delay the trial, to move the trial, to end the trial, everything? And what are the judges saying? Well, first, they're very nicely saying what any judge would say. No. That's all. No. I mean, they don't do what he does. Now, I sort of characterize it a little differently. When I characterize what these judges are telling him, I say that these judges are telling him to stick it in his ear. But that's my characterization. I think it's accurate, but it's me. The judges are just saying nicely, no, 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 and no. 3 days, 3 no's. It's not happening. It's sort of like back in 2020 when the lunatic went around the country filing lawsuits, and after 63 lawsuits that failed to overturn the election, 63 lawsuits. Well, then Donald stopped filing things and just started saying, I won. And then there are people out here who accept what Donald said. Well, Donald said he won. I guess he won. Why would they believe him? Well, principally because for 10 years, he was on television acting like he was somebody. And the people who watched that idiotic show, The Apprentice, they came away believing that Donald Trump was somebody. As I always point out, it's sort of like thinking that Marcus Welby can take out your appendix. No, Robert Young was not a doctor. He could not do a quadruple bypass. He could play it on TV, but he couldn't do it. Donald could play a guy on TV saying, you're fired. But in reality, no. He was a guy who everybody looked at, heard his name, and ran the other way as fast as they could. But the people who watched this were sucked into it. And they're still sucked into it because, listen, television is powerful. It really is. You put somebody on television long enough and you will get a result that you're aiming for if you do a good job. And I assure you that Mark Burnett knew what he was doing, made a lot of money, helped Donald to make a lot of money, to tell you the truth. Although all of that money is gone. Just like everything Donald ever had was gone. The man had things, and then he lost everything. And then he had things again and lost again. And every time he got things, it was because somebody gave it to him or lent it to him. And then he lost it. Everything Donald touches goes to zero. Oh, you haven't checked the stock price lately on DJT? Better check it. It's still dropping like a rock. Market goes down, DJT goes down. Market goes up, DJT goes down. $32 today, down again. $3, $4 a share. It's dropping 10% at a clip. everything Donald touches goes to zero. Don't you know that? That's just how it works. That's his history. That's the one reliable thing about Donald. If he touches it, it dies. That's what happens. By the way, you can give me a call here at 314-471-1968. That's 314-471-1968. If you want to talk to me about any of this or anything else, I really don't care. You call about anything. Call about, how you can learn to swim laps. Call about how you, if you want to learn how to water ski, I'm good at that. 314-471-1968, but really anything, and certainly if you want to talk about the demise of Donald Trump, I know it's sort of the early stage of the end, but it's, when they say the beginning of the end, so this is probably the middle of the beginning of the end. Because it's a little more than just the beginning, but it's not the end. The end is in November. We're working on that. We're getting there. But there's no question, Donald is in tremendous trouble. You know all the things that he's involved in that are trouble? Let me give you one. There's a law. It's called FISA. FISA. The FISA law is a law that allows people, different governments, governmental agencies, to investigate foreign activities that are connected with Americans that might put our country in jeopardy. And I have to say that on a pretty bipartisan level, people are a little worried about the FISA laws. I can tell you that I've been reading FISA law cases all the way back, probably 20 years, but it might be a little more than that. But I want to say this. I've always worried a little bit about the FISA court, because here's how it works. It's a little potentially problematic. You want a FISA warrant in order to tap somebody's phone. So normally you have to tell a judge why. But if it's a FISA court, you don't have to tell them anything. In fact, you establish your phone tap, and then the FISA court will come back and look at it when they have a minute. It's not quite that bad, but they do look at it after you've already taken the action. So there's the potential for people to create some havoc if they want to. And my guess is that it's probably been done inappropriately at times. I only say that because we don't know everything about it. But on the surface, it looks like trouble, because you're not asking the court to decide something until after you've already done it. And by the way, they always say it's okay. Always. Every time they go along. So with that kind of description, I would say there is the potential for trouble. Now, on the other hand, this has been sold as a method for getting the really, really bad terrorist people before they can jump up and bite you, and before they know that you're coming after them. So here's the thing. there's a little bit of good and a little bit of bad. And just on the surface, it sounds like a lot of bad, really. But beyond that, it sounds like a lot of good in that you got a way of slapping down bad people that could kill many Americans. And again, coming from other countries. So this is a tough call. And most people who are worried about it pretty much say, we need to do it because it's a very difficult and scary world, but we also need to be careful and we need to make sure that it's not being abused. And we have courts to do that, and the courts have been pretty good at it, actually. They've looked at some of these things, and they've looked at them, and they've allowed them. But they made sure that everything that was being done was kosher. Trump wants to eviscerate this. See, he's just a wrecking crew. He doesn't think about a little bit here and a little bit there. That's just not in his DNA. If he's got any DNA, I don't know what he is, but honestly, he is wildly against this without really much thought, because as we all know, the only thing he reads is the old speeches from Adolf Hitler, according to his ex-wife. Incredible. Okay, let me tell you what's really incredible. The food that you can get at Wendy's. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road in the Valley, and their food is outstanding. Baby back ribs, which are great. Onion rings. Wow, onion rings are great. You got to love that. I mean, if you just, from my standpoint, if all you ever ate were the baby back ribs and onion rings, I think you could make it the rest of your life on it. But they have more. They've got wings. They've got the smoked meats. They've got hamburgers, patty melts, pizza. Come on. Really? You gotta think about whether you want pizza? No, really. This is a great place. Excellent restaurant. And Ben, terrific guy who is the owner. He's there. And as I always say, these businesses that have the owner on site are fabulous businesses. They just tend to be better, because the owner cares. And in this case, he does care. Love to meet you, that's for sure. And feed you. Excellent, excellent food. That's at Wendy's, 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road in the Valley. Now, when it comes to jewelry, there's my friend Al, who is at 4506 Hampton. That's in St. Louis. First of all, they're so creative when it comes to designing jewelry. They're just good. If you tell them what you want, they'll do what you ask them to do. They'll follow your design. You can buy and sell coins and jewelry there, and you can even fix your watches there. This is just a great place for jewelry. That's Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton in the city. That is Jewels on Hampton. Again, Al and his son AJ are there on site. Great business. And finally, here I am with my suit and tie. A little purple in this tie with a blue shirt. How do I know? because people tell me. Everybody knows I'm colorblind. I have no idea. But I know that it's all matched right because they tell me what to do at the St. Louis Suit Company, and I just follow what they say. The St. Louis Suit Company is on Forsyth and Central on the corner in Clayton, and they've been there for 29 years. And if you would know all the people who shop there, I mean, you'd be blown away. It's just so amazing. And I've got some of them, some of the well-known people who shop there who are actually coming on the air soon, because just all different people buy their suits at the St. Louis Suit Company. Besides that, they've got the $5 ties, which are amazing. You know, great ties that you couldn't get anywhere else for, you know, $25, $30, $50 if you want to be ripped off by Donald Trump. But here, $5 for a great tie. You can't go wrong. St. Louis Suit Company, Forsyth and Central. And don't forget, if you're going to a wedding, if you're having a wedding, that's their big thing. They take care of weddings. St. Louis Suit Company is extraordinary. Okay. So, couple things. There is something called the Gerald Ford Foundation. And I don't know how many people feel connected to Gerald Ford anymore. He wasn't a president very long. He got the position after Nixon got in trouble and Agnew was tossed out for his illegal activities. And Gerald Ford became president and he pardoned Richard Nixon. It was a pretty gutsy thing to do, but he felt that for the benefit of the country, that he would do it. Now, Richard Nixon was a bad man, and he lied. And the amazing thing is, and I've known all about Richard Nixon since I was a little kid. I mean, you know, just I grew up out of radical politics, and I knew about Nixon. There are names from the past, like, you know, Helen Gehagan Douglas. These are people that he got involved with that he destroyed. Plenty of people he tried to destroy, and he wasn't so good. But he was a horrible man. And come the 1960 election, he ran against John Kennedy, and he might have actually won. He might have won. It's hard to say. The election was very close, except for some votes that were in question in Cook County, Illinois. And a lot of people, all of these years later, 64 years later, believe that Nixon might have actually won by a tiny amount, if not for the fact that Kennedy won by a tiny amount, and that was due to maybe some shenanigans in Cook County, Illinois. So remember that Richard Nixon was a very bad man, horrible person. However, when he lost, gee, what a surprise. Like everybody else in American history, he said, I lost. He was gracious, although he did talk about the fact that you wouldn't have Dick Nixon to kick around anymore. That's a famous quote of his. I think that was from 62 in California when they beat him there. But look, Nixon gave up that presidency right away. He didn't argue. you know, that they all took a look at Cook County, and you know, rapidly, that was the end of it. And Nixon said, "I lost. Kennedy won." And that was it. No lawsuits, no craziness, no allegations, no 15 years running around screaming your guts out. He just lost. He walked away. Now, granted, he came back in 1972 after he won in 68 and got himself into the Watergate mess, which wasn't really even him at the start. They got some people to break into the Democratic Party headquarters. And then when Nixon found out about it, he just wanted to cover it up. Well, that's against the law. He found out about it and then wanted to cover up a crime. Well, you know, you go to jail for that. And Nixon was in trouble. And he was destroyed in Watergate. Because Nixon was always a bad man. He was just a bad person. All the way back many years. However, he never tried to overthrow a free and fair election. He never tried to stay in office after he lost. He just didn't do that. Now, hang on. Let's see if this is somebody calling us here. I don't exactly know, but we're going to find out. Are you calling us here on the radio station?
Oh, no, Mark. This is Shanti.
Oh, okay. So we'll forget that. I said radio because I'm so used to radio. But at any rate, yeah, okay. So, yeah, that was a personal call. I can't believe that. Oh, sure, that number. Wrong number. That wasn't the right number. Okay, so I lost my mind. I'm sorry. Okay, so we'll return that and we'll agree that I screwed up. So get this phone out of here. There we go. Okay, so we'll take care of that. That's personal. Okay. So anyway, yeah, Nixon was bad. Horrible, horrible man, but he never tried to overthrow an election. And when he was caught, the Republicans came in and said, you know, you've been caught. And he said, yep, looks like it's over. See you later. And he was gone. End of story. Now, you know what's going on today. And you know, I say that Donald Trump will be trounced in this election. It's not even going to be close. Women are going to end this for Trump. But you know what he's going to do? I mean, do you have any doubt that in the first week of November, he will immediately start the same nonsense all over again that he one. And he won't care what the numbers are. Close, not close. It won't matter one bit. I promise you, they are going to come after us. They, the Donald Trump people. This is not Richard Nixon. I mean, Richard Nixon was a bad man. This guy is 100 times worse. And believe me, I'm not saying that in 2024. I was saying it in 2016. Every broadcast I did, all the way back in 2016, I was saying that this guy, then I was saying Richard Nixon times 10. So I was off on that, because we know he's Richard Nixon times 100. You know how desperate he is right now to not get caught for all the things that he's done? And remember this, what he's done in Manhattan, it may look like Not that much. First of all, he phonied his books. Well, think about it. If anybody else fakes their books, which is illegal, people say, well, that's illegal. In the case of Donald Trump, they say, well, that's just what Donald does. And Donald says that people in the construction business, real estate, they always fake their books. Everybody does it. Well, first, they don't. And secondly, if they do, it's not okay. And it's a misdemeanor. However, Donald took it one step further. He faked his books in order to hide from the American people the fact that he was paying a porn star so that she wouldn't tell about their sexual entanglement, which took place when his wife was pregnant and having her child. But it's not the moral part of this that is the issue. And listen, there are people who know the story. They don't even care. But here's the problem. This behavior, this attempt to interfere with our election, added on to faking your books, becomes a felony in New York. It's just the law. It is just the law. And they've got their hooks into him, and they are not going to let go. The judges in the New York Appeals Court in the last 3 days, they showed you what's going to happen in New York. New York's not playing games. They are going to allow this case to go forward on April 15th. They know what Donald is doing. And instead of being afraid of him, instead of cowering when Donald comes running with some crazed idea of how to delay the trial, they're saying no. We are not going to allow that. They said it on Monday. They said it on Tuesday. And now, yesterday, they said it on Wednesday. I don't think anything was filed today. It might have been. It's possible. I try to watch everything. I didn't see it. If it were done, I didn't see it. So I'm gonna say nothing was filed today. I watched all day. Maybe he's got a blockbuster for tomorrow. But the judges aren't hearing it. They are not interested. End of story. The case goes to the courtroom on Monday. And we are going to follow day by day the first criminal trial of a former president of the United States in our history. And think about it. It's the least of the four crimes that he's in trouble for. And the only reason why people sort of devalue this case is because the other things that he did were so much worse. But this is bad enough. You can't do this. You can't do what he's done here. You can't interfere with the election using fake books. And that's what he's done. It's not about the porn star. It's about his books, and it's about the election. And he broke the law. How long would he spend in jail? Probably not that long. But listen to what I said. Probably not that long. That doesn't mean no jail. I said probably not that long. You know, a year in jail, that's a problem. I don't know. Have you been in jail? I haven't. But I wouldn't want to be in jail. Not for a day. Not for a week. Well, I take it back. I'd spend a week in jail if I could share the cell with Donald, bring the microphone, and do some broadcasting from jail. And Joe, you can actually set that up too, right?
I'm sorry, what?
I mean, if Donald were in jail and I shared a cell with him for a week, I mean, we could do it in jail, and we could make it look just like this.
As long as you can have a phone and you can
Well,
make a link.
Yeah, we'd have to just get permission.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. So I'm just saying, you know, if even that, I'd go to jail for that. That would be fun. I would do that. Anyway, Donald's in trouble. You know, here's a Donald story. A lot of people are concerned about Russian talking points. And I'll give you a good example. A Russian talking point would be that Russia never wanted to attack Ukraine. But the United States kept expanding NATO, and we pushed NATO so far in toward Russia that they had no choice. If they wanted to protect themselves, they had to attack Ukraine. That's a Russian talking point. That's a point that's being spread today by American political leaders from the Republican Party in Congress. They're telling that story. Now, I have said for so long that if somebody is interfering with our election from another country, from Russia, from China, any of those countries are trying to spread these crazy stories, I have said the American people are smart enough to stay away. They will not buy those stories. And I still believe that, except when American political leaders with credibility, because they've been elected, when they stand up and tell the same story, when they use the Russian talking points that they get in the morning from Vladimir Putin, that's a problem. Now, you may say, come on, Kaysen, you know that Putin doesn't have a direct line into these political offices. And actually, I do know that. I believe it anyway. I don't think that he does have that direct line. But he has a direct line to Donald Trump. That he does. And I don't know, beyond what I've just said, I don't know the extent of it. And I don't know really where it comes from. I don't know what their relationship is behind the scenes that we're not aware of that is driving these talking points, which Trump is pushing into our American political system. I don't know where it comes from, but I will tell you this. We are going to find out. I am so positive. And if you want to know how I know one reason. I've read it. I'll tell you where I read it. I read it in the same place where you can read it. You should read it in the Mueller report. And I know you say the Mueller report and everybody starts laughing. But here's the problem with that. It's not a joke. The Mueller report was a very important, credible piece of information, 448 pages, which I read the book cover to cover. And I promise you that Mueller laid out 144 illegal meetings between the Russians and Trump's people. 144. Go read it. There's 448 pages there. And I'm telling you, it's there. It's all in there. It's been discredited by Bill Barr. It's been turned upside down into saying things that Mueller never said. As an example, Mueller said, "I cannot, based on this report, exonerate the president." He said, "I can't exonerate him. There's information in here that appears to be illegal. I cannot exonerate him." Bill Barr went to the American people with a so-called five-page summary, and the first thing he put in there was that the report exonerated Donald Trump. It was the opposite. The report said they couldn't exonerate Trump. And on and on. It went on like this. So I'm telling you, you don't know about Donald Trump and the Russians because you haven't read it. You can read it. Go online tonight. You can get it. It's free. It's there. 144 times. You think that's an accident? I don't know what they're doing. I watched them in that press conference that they had in Helsinki. And Lemire from MSNBC asked him, Trump, if Trump trusted Vladimir Putin or our intelligence agencies. And Donald Trump said he trusted Putin. On and on. This never ends. In the White House, high-fiving with the Russians, with Lavrov. Come on. What does it take to convince you? Go read the Mueller report. You won't believe that either. But you're going to believe this. April 15th. That you're going to believe. Yeah, you're going to believe it. And by the way, I sort of short-circuited my story about the Gerald Ford Foundation because they wanted to give an award to Liz Cheney, and one of the key people in the organization quit because they decided that they didn't want to give that award because they were afraid of Donald Trump, afraid that Trump would look at them sideways. Gerald Ford wasn't afraid of anybody. Liz Cheney is not afraid of Donald Trump. I never agreed with her, ever, nor her father. But that lady has stood up to Trump, and she gave up her career up to this point simply because she cared about this country. I mean, she gave up the career. It's clear. She lost it. She lost her position. She wasn't worried. She worried about the United States of America. That's what she worried about. April 15th, you're going to learn a lot. It's going to take maybe 6 weeks, 8 weeks. You're going to learn a ton. You're going to love it. We're all going to love it. We're going to love it together and watch it together. Right here on Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. Good night.